You are listening to Punk News Podcast number 658, one of the final freestyle episodes, hopefully. I was hoping to end the freestyle era sooner, but I've been super swamped with Summer Soiree 7. Super swamped with Summer Soiree 7. And it's going to be totally rad, man. It's this Saturday, which will be the day before, no, the day after you hear this. You're hearing this the day before Summer Soiree. So that's in Philadelphia, and you can come if you want. There's literally like 15 tickets left, though. So if you're going to go, you probably should buy a ticket. It's going to be, I mean, I've talked about it before, but it's going to be Joe Jack Talcum, the band, Dan Jomar, which is Dan and Dandrew of the Dead Milkmen with Marshall Fisher doing an All Ramones set. The Mikey Erg band doing an All Ramones set, which I didn't even realize. Do you realize the Mikey Erg band is basically the Ergs? Two of the three Ergs are in the Mikey Erg band. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. I thought they were so different.
It's basically the same band.
Oh, that's funny.
I just saw the Ergs on Sunday do all of Dork Rock Cork Rod, and it was awesome.
Ooh, nice.
Mr. T Experience was there. No, I'm sorry. Boris the Sprinkler was there, as was Egghead. And I didn't know a whole lot about Egghead. And actually, I debuted one of their tracks like a month ago or something.
Oh, no.
And that was just one I just, like, you know, I spit out. But actually, they were kind of cool, man. I dug Egghead more than I thought I would. And they had CDs for sale. And I'm like, well, actually, they had records for sale, but it was sold out. And really, the only reason I went over and looked over because I'm like, oh, I think I debuted this band. I think I debuted this record. I'll literally go look at it. And they were sold out. And so they had CDs. I'm like, how much are the CDs? They're like, $5. I'm like, oh, all right. I'll buy both CDs for $10. And they were like, wow. And they gave me a bonus rare live CD. So I spent $3.33 on a bunch of Egghead CDs. And they're good. They actually are real good.
That's awesome.
So anyway, Summer Soiree. Oh, also Summer Soiree 7. There are moms, four moms, that sing about being her moms in a Ramones style. And as I was telling Em, I literally, just before this podcast started, I was working on cassette tapes that you will only be able to get at the show with some unreleased Ramones tracks. And the opener is Pink Soap, the debut of three members of Vixen 77 with their new band. I have no idea what they're going to sound like, but it's going to be cool. Also, Em, I probably shouldn't say this, but I will, is there's going to be a lot of cool stuff at the show. There's going to be a limited edition poster that you can only buy at the show, and it looks super rad because I made it. It's a leather jacket that says Ramones Mania on it, and then instead of having pins, it's got names of all the bands on it. Also, the Ramones are going to have an exclusive cassette tape. Also, everybody that comes gets a surprise goodie bag on the way out the door. And I got to say, like last year's show was absolutely amazing. Dwarf, Zorn, Dan Burt, Vixen 77 and Mikey Erg band. The goodie bags last year were a little lackluster, and in part that's because I forgot to order bags, and so I had to use like trash bags, which were small. I couldn't really fit that much in there. Last year's goodie bags were kind of shitty. This year's goodie bags are the most variety in that like no two goodie bags are really the same, or most aren't. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of really cool stuff in there. Free records, free CDs, free board games, free candy, free toys, just a whole bunch of free stuff. Also, during Beat on the Brat, I bought 40 pool noodles that I'm going to throw into the audience so the audience can beat each other with the pool noodles. Plus, there are going to be other surprises at Summer Soiree 7. Plus, M.
Yes.
I don't want to get too into it. But, you know, I've talked before the Punk News podcast. Oh, and this is my name's John Ginzoli. I'm the featured editor here at Punk News. And I'm here with M, the other editor of Punk, one of the three editors of Punk News. M, what's happening? What's going on? So anyways, I've talked a little bit before about, you know, sometimes I've thrown some shows and there's been some dirty dogs and, you know, some not cool stuff behind the scenes by other people not involved, not directly in my world that kind of don't like the fact that I'm throwing shows. Well, I sort of feel that happened again this time because I announced my show way back in February and there were certain bookings that they could have booked other days, but they chose to book directly on top of my thing.
Yes.
I'm basically sold out. I got like 12 tickets left, like 15 tickets left. And I see a lot of people spending a lot of advertising for other shows. And I'm like, that's totally rad, man. They tried to take me on, Em, and they lost. I didn't even start the fight, Em, but I won. I didn't even start the fight. So, man, hey. I mean, like last year's show was so amazing. I don't know if it could be topped or can be topped. But this year's show is going to be a real slam banger. It's going to be a one night only kind of thing. And like I said, because I mean, there are some other cool shows booked up against. There's one show that I would love to go to, or even combined with my show, but they decided to book against me instead of working with me. You know, Which I'm a reasonable guy. I would have loved to go to that show, but I can't because it's my show. I mean, I'm more excited to see my show. But so I was a little worried, but I was like, well, maybe this show won't be a total slam banger like last year. But and knock on wood, we're on target to be a real slam banger. So this is going to be a cool one, man. And will it be the last summer soiree? Maybe. And it might. And even if it's not, it might be the last one where you have programs and handouts and stuff. Because and the price of printing has shot through the roof, and so at the current cost of printing, I just can't justify, you know, at punk news shows we give out like programs, which is like I still don't think anybody gets the joke that it's a punk show and I'm handing out programs, and the goodie bags have a bunch of cool papers and stuff in them, but the cost of printing is probably four times what it was 3 years ago and at least twice what it was last year, and I don't know if I can justify the gag when now that it's real money, you know what I mean? So this might be the last one. Or the last handout. We'll see, Em. We'll see.
Oh, it's not going to be the last soiree.
It might be. I mean, like, I'm not going to do it next year. If something cool, like, I'm not going to force it. Like, every single soiree has been like a cool idea. The first one was World Inferno playing Philly for the first time in, like, 4 years. The second one was Sturgeon and Crazy in the Brains doing all leftover crack, which was unique. The third one was World Inferno and Joe Jack Talcum, the band together, which was cool. The fourth one was COVID. No.
Not fun. Oh, actually, yeah, that one turned out well, though. Like, the videos were really fun.
Right. The fourth one was COVID. The fifth one was Joe Jack Talcum, the band, and Marissa Paternoster. Not her debut, but the first time she had done solo. Her band, rather, in a long time in Philly. Then the sixth one was The Dwarves, which was amazing. And now this one is Joe Jack Talcum, the band, and Mikey Erg, the band, doing All Ramones, which has never been done before. So the point being is, like I wouldn't throw. I mean, I might throw other shows in the future. Another venue just opened up, which I might use, but I kind of hate to betray Philomoka. But I mean, I'm not going to just throw a show like the show. And I realize I'm being a little academic or a little hoity-toity about it, but I don't want to just make a soiree just a show. Like, it's got to be something special. You know what I mean?
Of course.
Because then again, I mean, like I was not sure that this show would sell out because there was a lot of other shows going on, you know, and I like my poster, but the poster, like, there's a lot of information in the poster, which can hurt your show because people, like, will stop reading, you know? Like the fact is that, like, I probably should have made Joe Jack Talcum. Well, between you and me, Joe's band is Danjo Moore, which, frankly,
yes,
and he might not care. Joe Jack Talcum, the band, would sell more than Danjo Moore. You know what I mean? But he insists on calling it Danger Moore because it is a band, which I respect. So I was worried about surmounting that issue, which we did, which is rad. But where was I going with this, Em? I forget where I was going with this.
The poster. And having a lot of words on the poster.
Yeah, but why was I talking about that? Anyway, the point being is I'm not just going to throw a show just to throw a show. It's got to be something super cool and super special. This year is – I mean, like, this is – I got to say, man – big, big, big props to Joe and Dan and Marshall. And do you realize how crazy it is that they're learning an entire Ramones set for one show? And they're going to get paid, but they're not going to get paid. They're not getting paid dead milkman money. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like Joe just played – the Dead Milkmen played a big festival, Bouncing Souls Festival, last week, and they did No Values like a month ago. I guarantee you, because the Dead Milkmen are an active band, they put way less work into preparing for those shows than they did for my show, where they're getting paid so much less. You know what I mean? So it just goes to show that, like, Joe is the friggin' man. And every time I hurl praise, I'm like, Joe, you're the best. You're the greatest, Joe. I really appreciate it. He's always like, you're welcome. I'm like, oh, I think he hates me. I don't know, man.
He's doing it for the love of the music.
Joe, like, really, I mean, like,
yeah.
Joe, Jack Talcum, and all the Dead Milkmen, all of Danjo Marr, and actually Mikey Erg. I mean, Mikey Erg is always playing shows, even now that he's in Laura Jane Grace's band. Like, those guys are as punk as it gets. They really don't get enough. Like, people talk about Black Flag or the Ramones or Discharge, and all those bands are amazing, but or even newer bands like, I don't know, War on Women or Scowl, who are extremely cool. But like people don't usually talk about Dead Milkmen as being the punkest band, and the Dead Milkmen definitely are the punkest band because they'll play pretty big festivals, But then the individual members will pay rinky dink, even smaller than my show. You know what I mean? Like, they'll play rinky dink shows strictly for the love of music. You know what I mean? Like, they are as punk as it gets. The Dead Milkmen are freaking awesome. And
hell yeah.
And Ramones Mania is going to be freaking rad, and it's going to be rad.
It sounds like so much fun.
You should come down for it, Em. You should have come down for it.
I want to. I'm not going to be able to, but it'd be really nice to. See, this is why I have to throw another one.
Maybe I will. Who should we show? Well, let's not talk about that. Because let's not celebrate. I mean, this one could be.
Yeah, let's celebrate this one.
Like, Summer Soiree 1 was an amazing success. But as I've said before, it could have been a disaster because I definitely lost control of the show. And it could have been a disaster, you know? So we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, and what's going on? What's happening?
Yeah, I'm back at it after a week of sort of being away. which is fun. It's always interesting to see who respects my vacation emails and who doesn't.
Oh, yeah, did you see that, like, one email? Are we talking about the same thing?
We're not going to talk about it on air. We'll talk about it after.
I'm going to talk about it on air. I'm not going to name names, though.
Okay.
And honestly, that I actually thought they were kind of cool about it. I mean,
yeah, of course, of course.
So this band released a video and they released tour dates. But then after they released the tour dates, they wanted to pull them back. And they kept emailing Em, but Em was on vacation. And in my email, like, I was getting notices, but I didn't open it because I don't care. But eventually I did open it. And they were, like, begging us to take down the tour dates, which, in a way, I was annoyed because it's like, you released it. You made the mistake. This is news. We don't work for you. We are news. So it's news. But on the other hand, it's like, it's just tour dates, man. It's not like someone, like beat somebody up or raped somebody or did something bad or good. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just tour dates, man. And so I took them down. But what I gather, Em, is after I took them down, did they email you and ask you to put up just the video and not the tour dates?
No. So I'll tell you what happened after, but thanks for taking it down.
Yeah. Honestly, like
I didn't know any of it was going on. And then it was like, oh shoot.
Regarding a certain April Fool gag, like a certain PR person was not cool and I was really mad. But I mean, at least on my end, maybe not on your end, but on my end, they were actually pretty cool. You know, mad.
No, they're nice people.
I get mad at PR people super easily. And honestly, their email had the amount of respect that I require to respond. You know what I mean? So.
Oh, they're wonderful people to deal with. Yeah.
How was your vacation? Did you do anything fun on your vacation?
It was good. Like, I just kind of hung around and, like, did a couple, like, sort of day trips and tried to recharge and stuff. Because I don't know if, like, this really happens. I think everyone kind of reaches a point where it's just, like, you know, you've been doing a lot of different stuff. And, like, you know, you've been so busy for so long and whatever. And you kind of reach your breaking point, so to speak. So mine, like, when I know I need to take a break is I believe the zombie apocalypse is happening. So whenever that starts happening, it's like, okay, I need to stop everything that I'm doing. I need to, you know, take a little bit and just kind of, like, sleep and get the equilibrium back kind of thing. So there's a Buddhist garden and a Buddhist temple, like, not too far away from where I live. So was able to go there and it was really nice. Like, it's been under construction for, oh my gosh, probably 10 years now, because I was still in middle school when it started. And then, like, it's still under construction. It's going to be under construction for the next, like, 10 to 20 years kind of thing. So it was really cool to go and walk around. They have big, like, statues of the Buddha. They have big statues of, like, other, like, bodhisattvas. And, like, they have shrines and really, really huge, really intricate, elaborate temple. So it was really nice to go and kind of be in that environment, because I haven't been in a lot of very, like, spiritual places that have felt that good, for lack of a better word, you know, because, like, sometimes you go into a place that's supposed to be, like, spiritual or whatever, and it's just evil, you know? You have that like bad feeling that's like, I have to get out of here. But this was like very nice and relaxing. So that was really
And
cool.
maybe you're evil if you feel that way when you go into places. Like maybe if you go into church and you feel bad, maybe you're possessed or something. Have you considered
Probably.
that?
I wouldn't doubt it. Yeah, crosses and I don't have a good history together. But like I had really good food too, which was awesome. We've talked about this on the podcast too, where like I asked you if like fry truck or chip trucks were like a American thing, and you were like,
Yeah, they're
nope.
not. They're not at all. I wish they were. They sound awesome.
They are the best. So like went and got fries and
But you want to answer
lots of
my
sticks.
question. You like want to answer my question
What
in
was your
that
question?
like, would I ever go to a chip like let's say I want lunch, would I go to a
Yeah.
French fry truck and say that's my lunch?
Yes.
I would. Oh, well that
Yes.
answers the question then.
Oh yeah, you can get more than fries.
No, but
Like,
you're dodging the question again. So well, first
what
of
do you
all,
mean? No, I'm not.
At a chip truck, is
Yeah.
the main thing French fries? Like, is that the vast majority of what he sells? Like in Philadelphia, there's soft
Yeah.
pretzels. Like they'll
Right.
sell like water or soda too, but the vast majority of things they sell is soft pretzels. At a French fry truck, is the majority of things that they sell French fries?
It's the most popular thing. So like you can get just regular like chips, you can get fish and chips, you can get a burger with them or like chicken fingers.
Chip truck isn't really a French fry truck. It's a fried food truck or a hamburger truck.
Well, it's not a hamburger truck because a lot of people do go and just get fries and just eat the fries.
But would I go and get fries as a lunch or as a snack?
You get it as a lunch because they're really substantial.
So I would. So it's that. It's like Netherlands where I might get French fries as a whole meal.
Oh yeah, you can easily make it a whole meal.
But do people? That's the question. You keep dodging
Yes.
my question. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough.
Yeah, like I what we did is we got a big like box of chips and then we got a side order of matzo sticks. And that was lunch and it was really good and it lasted for ooh hours.
See,
It
I don't
does
think
for
I'd
a
want to
long
eat.
time.
I don't think I'd want to eat French fries and mozzarella sticks. I think I'd rather just want to have a lot of
Why?
French fries. Because
But
it's too.
mozzarella sticks.
I mean, well, I don't love mozzarella sticks to begin with. I mean, I like them, but mozzarella sticks are so greasy. I'd rather just have French fries, you know?
These places typically aren't greasy.
I don't know. I don't. You have non-greasy mozzarella sticks?
Yeah, they're just
Hmm.
crisp.
Well, I'll have to try it next time I'm in
They've
Canada.
perfected the frying, I'm telling you.
I guess Canada is known for cheese, sort of.
Yeah. Kind of different places, mainly Quebec. But I guess kind of around here, maybe. Oh, there is another food thing. Oh shit, I don't remember what it was. Anyway, it was really good. I'll remember it. I think I might have taken a picture of it. But anyways, I also finally listened to like I got caught up on listening to stuff too, which was really exciting. And I got a new bracelet, which I think you can hear. Tick, 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 tick.
Well, speaking of listening and seeing, actually, I mean, I've been out and about lately. I'm trying. I've had a whirlwind week and a half or a week. I'm trying to think. So I saw Off in, was it Philadelphia? No, I went up to Brooklyn to see. No, I saw Fucked Up in Philadelphia, and they were awesome. And it actually, they have the new record for sale, which doesn't come out for like 2 weeks or something. But the weird thing, I'm like, when I got it, it doesn't come out. I'm like, wow, this has come out for 3 weeks, 3 whole weeks. Wow, you know? So it's like, I don't know why I was so blown away by the fact that I got it 3 weeks early, you know. But
Yeah,
so
it's special.
Fucked Up was real good. The new song, honestly, like, I gotta say, I don't love college rock effed up. I love prog effed up. I love punk effed up. I love metal effed up. I love weirdo effed up. I don't love the college rock stuff. And recently, the college rock side has been relegated to the albums. The new album is kind of college rocky, but it's super duper good. It's definitely their best since Dosha Dreams. It's real good. They were real good live. Then I saw, I guess I saw Off. Was Off the next show that I went to? I guess it was. I saw Off in Brooklyn with Effed Up opening again. Effed Up did a different set list. And off did actually they did about the set list I saw about a year ago where they did all of free LSD and then a second set of hits, and it was the second to last ever show. F'd Up was awesome. Off was awesome, but I guess with Off I was a little surprised that they didn't really make a big deal that it was like the second to last ever show. They almost treated it like it was just like another gig, you know. And I almost got the impression that obviously Off is ending, so they're ready to be done with. But they didn't seem to be sad that Off is ending. They seem to be content with what they achieved, I guess is the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
I also stopped at Generation Records in New York, famous record store. I was actually really surprised about how many cool things they had in their new arrival bins. And I was like, wow, I can't believe there's this much cool stuff in the new arrival bins. I'm like, I guess it just sits here or whatever. But while I was there, like vultures like myself were just swarming in and just bang, 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 bang. So I guess they must just put out awesome stuff all day long. However, I will say two things. Generation Records, definitely great records. Definitely go visit. I mean, it's in New York City, so honestly, not that cheap, frankly. They did some cheap stuff, some stuff that was kind of expensive. The cheaper stuff, actually, I guess, as per expectations, was New York stuff. So New York hip-hop, New York punk was cheaper than you might get outside of New York, I guess, just because there's so much of it, you know? However, mm-hmm. I will yeah. say, be careful. I mean, it's a cool store. They got a lot of cool stuff. But they have some records that say as is or whatever. And usually when a record store says as is, it means it's a playable record. Maybe it's kind of beat up. I almost bought two $10 records as is, but I did check them. And the one record was like snapped. And the other record had like a massive gouge in it where the record was unplayable, which I thought was kind of not cool. I mean, it's one thing to sell unplayable records in the dollar bin or the $3 bin, or, you know, you can play half the side or whatever. I think it's kind of not cool to sell an unplayable record for $10. You know what I mean? Or yeah. at least put it in with the rest of the normal records. You know, even if you put as is, like, I don't know. I thought that was kind of not cool. But the store itself was cool. I mean, that's just my one criticism. The store itself was real cool. After that, I went and saw the Ergs, who were awesome. And then on Monday, I went in Philadelphia and saw Free LSD, the movie, one of their early premieres. And Keith Morse was there along with Dimitri Coates, who I didn't realize directed the movie too. I didn't realize he was the main guy, like the main creator behind the movie. Free LSD is friggin' awesome. It is far out. It's well done. I thought it was going to be not a throwaway, but I thought it was going to be like a B movie. But it's not like a B movie. It's more like Donnie Darko or I'm trying to think some other like far outs, THX-1138 or Scanner Darkly. And then it's like a super well done kind of far out sci-fi movie. And I definitely recommend it. And you should definitely go see it. It's super cool. And if you're a fan of Off or sci-fi, it's exactly what you want. And I got to say, it is a pretty cool way to send off with, you know, I'm sad to see Off go. But it seems like I'm the only person, man. Like, I was saying to some other people, like, oh, are you sad about yeah. Off? And most people were like, no, we've got the Circles, Erics, you know. And the guys in Off don't seem that sad. They seem happy, you know. So,
yeah.
I guess it's just me.
I don't think it's, like, the full stop end of them.
Everyone is saying that. I think it is the full stop end. I really do. Keith Morris is older than I thought he was. How old do you think Keith Morris is?
Who?
He mentioned this at the screening.
73.
Oh, he's not that old. He's 69.
Oh, that's not bad then.
So, but I mean, he's 69. I mean, he's not going to be doing it it's doubtful he'll be doing it when he's 80. You know what I mean?
Well, fair enough. So,
I mean, how many years till an offer union, hypothetically? At least 3 or 4, right? So he'll be probably like 74, 75. You know what I mean?
He's in good shape.
He is in good shape, but that being said, I mean, he's talked about how he doesn't want to be on the road forever. And I mean, I don't blame him for running Off. I mean, Circle Jerks probably make 10 to 20 times as much as Off, if not more. Flag, there have been, not from Keith, from other people, there have been rumors of Flag coming back around, which would be super cool. So I'd love to see that. But everyone's like, oh, Off will be back. I don't think Off will be back, Em. And if you're in the LA area, then I think you should go see them with Surfport, because I think that's going to be the last show, which I would have flown out for, but it's Summer Soiree 7M, so I can't fly out.
The timing is off.
Do you think Ricky will go see Off in LAM?
I hope so. And
He
then you can
won't.
tell you
He
about it.
won't. He won't. He Ricky. I'm so annoyed at Ricky, and that Ricky will he loves certain bands, and I get it, man. I mean,
Yeah.
everyone's grown, and they got stuff that going on, but Ricky loves Off. He probably loves Off as much as I do, and he won't go and see them for whatever reason. He'd rather sit
Why?
it because he'd rather sit at home and I don't know watch I don't know reruns of I don't know Ghost Rider or something. I don't know.
You could do that any day of the week.
You tell me, Em. You tell me. Em, do you know what Ghost Rider is?
You've talked about it on the podcast before. I've never
Anyway,
watched it. I just know it from you.
let's cover some news. Em, I've got something kind of cool to talk about, but I've been yapping a lot. There's something you want to mention, and I'll come in with my big heavy duty story.
Start off with your big heavy duty story because I need to get caught up on what happened.
So I haven't even done the story yet, but I'm gonna try to get up tomorrow, even though I've been super busy. Is Em, have
Oh,
you heard
yeah.
about this Capigouli thing?
I saw a post by the Punk Rock Museum on Instagram, and I meant to look more into it, and I just haven't had time.
So Kepi, man, like I said before, I'm a huge Kepi fan, but as huge of a fan of Kepi I am, I'm so annoyed by him, by that he never tours the East Coast, and when he does, he'll do like one acoustic show. Like he won't even do like five acoustic shows. He'll do like one acoustic show, and he keeps re-recording albums that he owns the rights to already. Like I said, it'd be one thing if he re-recorded albums that he doesn't own the rights to. But he re-records albums that he owns the rights to, which I don't understand the purpose of that whatsoever, you know. And so
Yeah.
he's a whack job. He's wacky, you know. I'm like, oh my God. Like Kepi, I'm such a fan and I'm so annoyed by him. Kepi is the freaking man, I mean, here's why. And I saw him picking this fight, and I didn't think he was gonna win, but he won. You know, this is pretty cool. So
Yes.
everyone knows who I mean everyone knows who Kepi Ghouli is, right?
Of course.
Yeah. So Kepi. Kepi, there's a flannel company called Dixon Flannels, and actually I see them around in punk circles a lot. I don't want to name names, but I think like Social Distortion, I think Misfits. I could be wrong on any of these. I know Rancid, I know NOFX had flannels made by Dixon, I think Cro-Mags had one, and people like freak out over the kind of like Supreme clothes, like these flannels go on stuff for like $80, and people buy them in like a minute, and they're sold out. And I don't get the appeal because what they do is they'll take like Cro-Mags Age of Quarrel. The cover is like red, white, orange, and black, right? And so they'll make
Yes.
a flannel that has the colors red, white, orange, and black in the flannel, and then the tag will say like Cro-Mags. But like just by looking at the flannel, it doesn't have like the album cover on the back or anything. It's just those four colors, you know? And people like freak out. They're like, oh my God, it looks so rad. I'm like, it's red, white, orange, and black, man. Like, if the Kmart was still around, I could go get you one from 1995. You know, like,
Yeah.
so for whatever reason, certain people in the punk rock scene have decided that Dixon flannels are awesome and rad, and you must buy them for $89.95 or whatever they cost. And so I had vaguely heard of this, and oh, actually, Em, I talked to you briefly about this, didn't I?
Very briefly off air.
So there was rumors that flannel had posted Instagram posts like. And sold a t-shirt that said F Antifa and basically very pro Trump stuff, pro, but even beyond pro Trump, pro hardcore right wing, pro alt-right, pretty like. So there had been these Instagram posts that were popping up, and I wanted to do a news story on it, but I couldn't confirm that the pics were real because all the pics were very distorted. Like it would say like it'd be
Right.
like an Instagram screenshot, and it would say like Dixon Flannel, we're proud to present our new shirt, fuck Antifa or whatever, you know. But the pictures were all distorted, and I can't run that news story without confirming it because if people do Photoshop shit, you know. And so if I say that and we're wrong, we could get smashed for defamation, like big
Yeah.
time, you know. So I couldn't confirm it, but then Kepi saw these pictures, and Rancid's got a Dixon shirt. NOFX does, the Punk Rock Museum, and some other people. There was one other. I'm gonna see if I can pull up while we talk. There's one other band that Kepi loves Rancid. He loves NOFX, and I think it was like one other band. And he's covered them before. And he like did this big Instagram post, and he's like, Rancid, Punk Rock Museum, how can you do this? You know, you're supposed to be about unity and anti-racism. And you're selling Dixon t-shirts or Dixon flannels, and Dixon is like alt-right and stuff. And so he
Right.
sent them an email, And then he sent a bunch of people an email, and I think the only people that got back to him was the Punk Museum. And this was after he started really raising a stink. And they said, oh, we don't know about that. We're not sure. And then Kevin was like, that's really not cool. You do know about it now. They're a fascist company, or they have fascist leanings, or however you want to phrase it. And yeah, you guys are supposed to be punk rock, and you guys are anti-racist, you know. I mean, if you look at any Oppa Ivy song or any Rancid song, they're all about we hate racism, you know. And it's like, you guys have friggin' Dixon, this what Kepi thinks is a pro-fascist or fascist or creepy company selling t-shirts. Or not t-shirts, flannels. And so it seemed like Kepi was going to lose and people were ignoring him. But he kept doing these posts. And he basically – oh, I'm going to read his one quote here. I spent 6 weeks of my life trying to fight the good fight within my community. I was in discussion with the Punk Rock Museum about their partnerships with a fascist, nationalist-leaning garment partner. June 11th, they were supposed to have a meeting about it and were supposedly exchanging emails about the issue. The meeting has been postponed. Since June 20, I've sent 3 messages to Punk Rock Museum and have been ghosted. I have been left with no choice but to disassociate and renounce any relationship with them, and I am no longer supporting my cover versions of Rancid and NoFX songs from the community that I grew up and embraced. I feel Joe Strummer would be rolling over in his grave, although none of us can be perfect. We can choose personal evolution and growth of a truly inclusive and respectful scene, and that is where you will always find me, always trying. Good luck to us all. Farewell, fascism. So, Kepi, I mean, like, NoFX, Rancid, they all have way more money, way more clout than Kepi. You know, way more, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, in certain areas of the punk world, perhaps the more commercial or pop punk, you know, it's a smaller world than you might think. And sometimes some people will put out, say, this guy is a bad car, don't deal with him. And somebody kind of gets, you know, pushed out or erased or however you want to, you know. So Kepi was putting a lot on the line. And then eventually the Punk Museum, they hit him in the hall a little bit, but then they get back to them apparently Fat Mike called Kepi. And the Punk Museum said, well, we didn't tell Fat Mike because he was on vacation. I don't, you know, what, who knows, you know, or not vacation, on tour. And so Punk Rock Museum and NoFX are canceling any deals with Dixon, and also this issue has been brought to light by Kepi. I mean, people have kind of talked about it, but Kepi really brought it to light. Mm-hmm. And Kepi won the fight. I mean, Kepi took on much bigger bands, much bigger industries, much bigger companies than him, and said, I'm not gonna back down, and they caved. And that's like really cool. And it's kind of like with Scal and their thing. It's like how sometimes the little guy can win. And I got to say, man, mega props for Kepi for really standing up for what he believes in and putting it on the line. So that's pretty cool.
That's so cool. Hell yeah, Kepi.
So yeah, man, kudos to Kepi. I would play a song, a Kepi song right now, but we're doing a freestyle episode, so I'm not going to mix it. So maybe next week.
Next week's the all Kepi week.
I'd love to have Kepi on the podcast, but he's a whack job, man. I interviewed him once, and it was unusable, Em. It was unusable.
Why? You know? Why was it so bad? You couldn't salvage anything?
No, because I said to him, like, so why are you, like, re-recording stuff that you own? And he's like, because it's fun. Yippee. I love rock. Hooray. Let's go. And that was, like, the answer to everything. No, it's not. And that is not usable, especially when it's the answer to every question after, like, 12 questions.
If it was one, it would be fine.
So anyways, I love Kepi, though, man. Kepi's the man. He's infuriating, but he's the man. So
fighting the good fight.
So that was the big story for me of the week, man. That was pretty cool, dude. We'll see how the current crop of punk news commenters take that info. I don't know how they're going to take that, Em. You know, because on one hand, we got these guys that act like they're all so altruistic and you know, moral and stuff, and they're total creeps.
But I'm a nice guy.
They're not nice guys in that way, in that they're high. It kind of like Joe Strummer or Bob Marley, is they're high in money what they say, but in their actual life, they're friggin' assholes. You know what I mean? And like they're always calling people out, not because they really care about the underlying issue, but because they want to make themselves feel better and get on a soapbox, you know. But on the other hand, we have alt-right creeps hanging around here and there, you know. So I don't know how this one's going to play out, Em. I do not know how this one's going to play out on the site.
It's going to be a good comment section to read, I think. Because I think there'll be people who are like, hell yeah, Kepi, let's go, woo. You know, I think there's people who are going to be like, I knew this about Dixon. And then I think there's people who are like, I love my shirts. Don't make me give up my shirts.
See, I think we're gonna have a lot of guys that say like alt-right or whatever, but like scared to admit it, and they'll be
Yeah.
like is this really the best use of your time? Like, who cares about let people wear what they want to wear, But
Yeah.
I do listen to some out there music, Death in June, and well, I used to listen
That's
to
it.
the one guy,
No.
but you
Yeah,
gotta draw
the guy who won't be named.
the yeah, but. You do have to draw the line somewhere, Em. You know what I mean? Like, you kind of have to have a hard stop
Yeah.
somewhere, And I think, like, straight up racism or straight up hate, like, you can't ever have
Yeah.
that. You know what I mean?
No.
So.
Not cool. Not cool at all. No place for it.
But then again, I mean, and we're going off topic, but why not? Is then, Em, though, with the race issue, like, how about, like, the hip hop or whatever? Like, Wu-Tang has blatantly racist lyrics. Public Enemy has blatantly racist lyrics. What do you do with that, Em?
That is an interesting question. I'm not quite sure because it's something that's not okay at all. So, like, why are they kind of getting a pass? Or are they getting a pass? To be
I think
completely fair, I'm not very familiar with either of them besides what we've talked about on the podcast.
you're not from a Public Enemy or Wu-Tang him?
Just like what we've talked about and like stuff. So, like, I haven't, kind of gone like cover to cover for with any al album.
What kind of bums me out is like, and I don't even mean like there's racism by white people against non-white people, and then there's racism by non-white people against white people, but there's other kinds of racism too. I'm not like there's racism. I'll make up people. There's racism of purple people against orange people, right? There's racism of green people against whatever. You know what I mean? And I've had the luck, I guess, or the opportunity. I've worked in a lot of different environments, a lot of different environments, a lot of different multicultural environments and or different cultures, And what kind of annoys me is sometimes in music, all hear or see something that's, we'll say, purple people racist against green people, and like Pitchfork's like, this song is amazing, and I'm like, that's straight up racist, you know what I mean? Like, straight
Right.
up racist, but they won't say anything about it. And do they not see it, or do they see it, but they don't care because it's not a white versus non-white issue, you know what I mean?
Interesting. I would think that it would be the latter.
Public Enemy and Wu-Tang have that issue too, so. I don't know, man.
That's really interesting. That is a study. Yeah, like why do some things get the attention and other ones don't?
Well, and that, and then when we move on, that's one thing. I have an idea why, but like, there's a lot of amazing hip hop. Well, like any genre, but there's a lot of
Oh,
amazing hip
yeah.
hop, right? There's
Of
some hip
course.
hop that is straight up sexist, like that bitch sucked my dick,
Yeah.
blah, blah. And I mean, even right now, not 1988. I mean now,
Yeah.
And Pitchfork will be like, Trippie Redd is breaking the boundaries. Like, no, he's not. He's literally just singing about his gold watch and getting his dick sucked. Like, that's literally all he's singing about. And they'll be like, he's breaking, But then if
Yeah.
like, but then if like some punk guy said something that wasn't even one eighth that, they'd be like, this guy's horrible, must be destroyed. Or I'll give you an example. When Chrissy Hynde, well, I don't want to get too off topic, but like,
Okay.
so like, why it annoys me that certain genres get a pass, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's not even a race issue, it's a genre issue, so I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's whatever, protect whatever's selling.
I don't think it's that. I think it's that. I think it's that people don't usually use the word PC anymore, or the phrase PC, but I feel as though PC has been developed into an not totally accurate tool. And so certain lines of thoughts that people have don't really address all situations. And therefore, by wielding a tool that isn't really refined, that m might have good intentions or does have good intentions, but isn't really refined, you get some very unjust results from using that tool.
Right.
I feel like an academic, and that I'm using abstract things to discuss abstract things, which means I haven't actually said anything whatsoever, you know.
It
So
sounds right, you
it
know? It's
sounds
like,
right.
yes.
Anyway, I got another story, Em, unless you want to talk about one.
I can put in a couple.
Go ahead.
Ah, where is my Google? That's not
How
what
did
I
we get
want.
talking about this?
I
How did I
want
get talking about
this.
this issue, Em? How did I get so far off track on this issue? I guess
Racism,
my
where do we draw the line? Because we're talking about alt-right
yeah,
and Nazis and
that's
shit.
true. Yeah. Well, listen, man, racism is never cool punk news in any form. Sexism is never cool punk news in any form.
Nor is homophobia or
Homophobia, not cool punk
transphobia.
news, not cool punk news. Trying to think what else we're against. I mean, we're against a lot of things. Let's see here. We're
We
against
are
beer
against a lot of
punk.
things.
We're against beer punk. Yeah, that's never cool punk news. So anyway, man, like just be cool, man. Just be a cool person, you know? Like, don't be a dick.
Yeah, like life's hard enough, you know? Like just we all have the same common goal. We all want to survive and we want to live well.
Where
You
do we stand
know?
on disco, Em?
I like disco.
But
I
isn't
think
like
disco
punk
is
by
fun.
definition against disco?
Now, here is an interesting thing. Why is punk against disco? Is it
I'll tell you
against
exactly
disco
why.
because of, wait, no. Is it because of the musical content or is it because of where it came out of, which is racialized groups and queer groups? Is it a deeper issue?
I don't know if you can say disco. I mean, disco developed from funk, I guess. But that's not even a part of it, because now when people think of disco, they do think of, you know, bands like Wild Cherry and Peaches and Herb. But back in the day when people spoke of disco, they were thinking of bands like Bee Gees and You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. Who's that guy?
All I'm getting is Barry Gibb, and I know that's not right.
No. You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. I actually like that song. Leo
Tawny
Sayer.
Sparkles? Oh.
Leo Sayer. Where it came out of is music was wild and crazy. Rock was wild and crazy in the 50s, and it was daring in the 60s, you know. But then in the 70s, when discotheques became popular, music became very bland and danceable, but the actual content and the crazy rock aspect was not there. And people kind of forget that, like in the 70s and even in the 80s, punk was not the majority of music. Go look at any top 10 list. Like, now punk or rock is thought of as, well, rock is not king anymore, but rock for the longest time was thought of as king, you know. But during the punk era, the vast majority of people, like during the punk era, the most popular music was disco, you know. And so it was a small group of people that wanted wild rocking music like the 50s and early 60s and late 60s, or like the Stooges. And instead, they were getting this very danceable but gentle and not crazy music. So that's where punk came from. You know, it's just a, I mean, really just an extension, if you will, you know, from the beatniks, well, from the rockers to the beatniks to the hippies to punk, you know.
Oh, yeah, everything's a response to everything else.
I don't think punk was born out of, I mean, if anything, punk was one of the first multicultural genres, really, because punk very early on associated with reggae. There are a lot of colored and queer people in punk when it first started. And I mean, the LA scene talk about all the time is the early LA scene had a lot of queer people and people of different backgrounds. And then when hardcore came over, it became a little bit more homogenous. So I definitely don't think you can say punk is a reaction against disco and that disco had, you know, colored people or queer people, because punk arguably had a higher percentage of those than disco. You know what I mean? So that's my thesis.
Good thesis.
So what's your story, Em?
My story has nothing to do with disco. My story, but it is about the end of an era. Golfer have released their final EP. It is called Lights Out and has five tracks. So earlier this year, a couple months ago, the band announced that they will be disbanding and playing their final shows. They've been together for quite a while. And like when they announced their breakup, like it came as a shock to me because I was like, I interviewed David earlier this year, and you know, he was talking about like how like they were really stoked on like a bunch of stuff, and you know, they were like just felt really confident in things. So I was really surprised. Their breakup kind of in one way came out of nowhere, but at the same time, like there was kind of like rumblings of a hiatus, possibly a permanent hiatus a couple years ago. So
Don't you love when bands are like, we're the best friends ever. We all love each other. We're going to be friends forever and we're always going to make music. And then 2 days later, they're like, we break up and we hate each other. I've seen that happen many times at this point, you know?
I don't think they hate each other.
I do.
Okay.
I know nothing about them, but I think they hate each other.
But anyway, their final album, or not final album, Jesus, final EP is very good. You know, it's one of those things where like Third Wind was so good and now this EP is so good, and it's just like, why? And I was kind of like, I was pretty pissed off because I wanted to go to their final like Toronto show because you know, that I have one of the oldest band t-shirts that I have is a golfer shirt, and it has two dogs on it, and one's smoking and one has like a bottle of Jack Daniels or something. Anyway, it's a great shirt. It smells, but I love it. So I was lucky to see them 3 or 4 times, which was incredible, but I wanted to go to their final Toronto show. I did the story about this. I wrote up the dates. I did all of this, and I got the date wrong. I thought they were going on July 29th, and it was July 19th, so I missed them.
Oh, you missed their final show ever?
I missed their final Toronto show, their final
That
ever show
sucks.
they did in Ottawa.
That
And I like
sucks.
I just got everything like so mixed up, and I was like, no, because I saw on social media like posts like our final ever show in Ottawa, and I'm like, what? And then I went back and like read like what I'd written and stuff, and I'm like, oh my God, I messed up the date. Like obviously on Punk News everything's fine, but somehow like in my head I messed them up, and I was like, no, I
That
missed
sucks, Anna. I'm sorry.
them.
That sucks.
It's okay.
I got to see the second last off show if it's of any consolation.
I see. I'm glad you're able to, and like now you have closure with the band, and now it'll be like reunite, reunite, reunite. I need my my closure of this era. But again, they were an incredible band and put out some really great stuff. And if you like mathy cool shit, check them out. I mean, even if you don't, you'll probably like it. They're great. So that was big news. But there's
I got a
other cool
couple of
stuff. Sorry?
quick things to hit. Green Day released a video for Corvette Summer, and it's got Mark Hamill in it and Hannibal Buress. And I mean, I don't really care about Green Day one way or another. I'm not anti-Green Day. I'm not a fan. But all the readers absolutely hated this song in this video. I thought the song was all right, and I thought the video was funny with Mark. I mean, even with Mark Hamill's cool, man. They didn't seem to care that Mark Hamill was reprising his role from like 50 years ago in a movie called Corvette Summer. I thought that was funny and fun. And did you check this out? Why did everyone hate this so much? Like, I was expecting like the worst thing ever, and I'm like, hey, it's a okay Green Day song. That's what Green Day sounds like. Like, if you don't like this, I think maybe you don't like Green Day. That's what they sound like, you know?
I've heard this song and I agree with you. I like the song. It's good. I haven't watched the video yet. It's on my to watch list and I just haven't got to it, but I'm really looking forward to seeing it because some of their videos are really good. Like the one for Bobby Socks was really great. So I'm looking forward to checking this one out. And I like that it pissed off the commenters and I don't really know why it did, but I
Yeah,
think that's really funny.
I don't know why they found this one to be so offensive.
It's like, this is stuff you
If
should
I was a Green Day
like.
fan, I'd be like, yeah, it's pretty. If I was a Green Day fan, but yeah, it's all right. It's pretty good. But they hated it. I don't know, and I don't know.
I don't get
Let's
it.
see. I think there was one other thing I would. Is there anything else you wanted to cover? There was like one thing that I wanted to cover otherwise. Anything else you wanted to hit?
Four real quick things. First,
Four.
oh, like they're gonna be like 30 seconds, like bam, bam, bam. Just cool
Too
things.
long, Em. We don't have time for
Oh
it.
no. Okay, fine. Three.
Three.
three, and I'll do it, and I'll see if I can do like 10 seconds each. Okay. First of all, Desert Mambas are going to be releasing a new EP. It is called Pastel Southwestern, and it's out on August 2nd. And if you haven't checked out their debut EP, but it's a dry heat, you should, because it's great. And there's a snake on the cover and a boot, and it's really cute. And they also did a split with Teens in Trouble in 2023. And everything that they have done is very cool, so you should check it out. When that drops. Secondly, Touche Amore have released, or they haven't released it yet, are going to release a new album. And they have, it's called Spiral in a Straight Line. And they released a video for their lead single, Nobody's. The video, like, they're just in the studio, like, it's cool, it's shot in black and white, looks neat. I really like this song, and I am excited for the album. I think it's going to be good. And again, I thought this was going to get people excited because it's a good song and people like this band, and no one commented, and I was shocked. Final thing. I interviewed Adam Davis of Omnigon. That's up on Punk News right now. Go read it. And please do not comment about some band that released something like last month or the month before that we somehow missed. Thank you. That is my news blitz.
Which was
pardon me?
And what's your fourth story?
What was my fourth story? Oh, a band called Kid Feral.
I don't know.
Have released a video for their song. What was the name of it? Why is it not showing up now? Kid Feral have released a video for their song, Am I Better Than All of You? Which is off of their upcoming EP, Headlights. And the video is very fun and very funny, and the song is just great. And this band rocks, and they're going to be playing New Friends in Toronto next week. So check them out. There's a lot of dancing. There's a lot of green screen. There's some up close in of like studios. There's all sorts going on. There's really a little bit of everything, and it's just a ton of fun. So Kid Feral out of Sweden.
Sweden.
Which is exciting. Sweden.
Well, there you go. I guess I got two quick things. Misfits are re-releasing Earth AD as a fancy schmancy color swirl vinyl. It looks cool. It probably sounds exactly the same as the other ones, or maybe even crappier, because sometimes color vinyl sounds crappier. But I'm glad that, you know, Misfits goes in and out of print. Sam Haines probably always going to be out of print, and I would love to know the reason why. I think it's because Glenn Danzig just likes to keep it secret. I'm not exactly sure. But anyway, Em, did you see this purple Misfits Earth AD?
Let me pull it up.
It looks pretty cool, I gotta say. I bought one because it looks rad as hell.
Ooh, that's nice. That is a very cool color.
Interestingly, about 2 years ago, they released a version of Earth AD that was 45 instead of 33, and actually it sounded amazing. So I wonder if this, and that was the first time it's ever at 45. I'll be interested to see if this one's at 33 or 45. So that's pretty cool. Last story, Em, there's an Iron Maiden yes. cooler. It comes with the speakers, $175. Would you buy a cooler with a speaker for $175?
No, I wouldn't. I think it's a cool, go. Yeah, would you?
No, I think it's stupid. I mean, like, first of all, I guess it's amusing as a dumb item, but I'm not going to pay money for an amusing dumb item. Second, like, honestly, I would feel like a dork if I was walking around with like an Iron Maiden, like, oh, yeah, look at my lunchbox, it's got Iron Maiden on it, you know. I want my cooler to be utilitarian, not, of course, then again, you know, then again, if a cooler can't be fanciful and fun, who are you exactly? So I guess I'm not opposed to having a fanciful and fun cooler. But the problem is if you actually use a cooler, they get beaten up. You know what I mean? And so it would annoy me that my cooler with fancy designs is getting beaten up and used. You know what I mean?
Well, and
so I would not. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry.
So I would not buy one because I would get annoyed because it would get like worn down.
That makes sense. And there's also the thing of, like, what if your ice, like, melts and it interferes with the electronics.
Yeah, that's a good point. They really didn't think this one through, did they, Em?
They did not.
Anyways, so we got some cool guests coming up in the near and nearest future. We got Dale Corver, the Melvins, coming up in a little while. We've got not Unsane, the spinoff of Unsane. And what's the spinoff band of Unsane?
The spinoff band of Unsane.
Yes, give me one second.
Can you give me a song title?
No, I can't. We've got some members of F'd Up coming up. We've got some Chumbawamba interviews coming up. So we got a lot of cool stuff coming up on L Punk News Podcast. And the spinoff band of Unsane, which is the main Unsane guy.
Human Impact?
Human Impact. And thank you, Em. Good job. And otherwise, any closing words before we shut this on down, Em?
Keep your ice away from your electronics because they will fry, and not in a fun way. And eat at Chip Trucks.